Well, let's look into the scripture before we pray tonight. Would you join me again in Acts chapter 4? This past Sunday, we considered basically the results of this prayer, the if you want to call it this, a second outpouring of the Spirit. We have the initial one there in Acts chapter 2, and we see this one in Acts chapter 4, and we thought about that in reference to our subject on Sunday morning. But I thought we really need to go back and look at the prayer itself, because we have been considering this, prayers in the Scripture, and particularly of late, pointed prayers for God to do something in a remarkable way, an outpouring. If you want to call it a revival, that would be defendable, I believe, though the word is not used in this chapter. Here is a church that is revived, as a matter of fact, and it's full, and yet they need to be filled again. That's really encouraging to me on so many levels. But we're looking at the prayer itself in Acts chapter 4. Now, this is where the apostles had been taken and stood before the power brokers, and they told them, don't preach any longer in this name. And then Peter and John go back and report these things to the assembled church. It says in verse 23, they went to their companions, and then they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord, and they said, and here's the prayer. O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why do the Gentiles rage, and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Well, I suppose we should read the next line. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. And so God had in store for them a second filling, at least the second that we know of. There may have been more. There are probably private touches here and there, but here's the assembled congregation, and we see them subsequent to Acts chapter 2 again being filled with the Spirit. Like we say, that's very encouraging. Now, the prayer itself, if we could put ourselves in these people's shoes, and actually it's getting easier and easier to do, because the power structure there, these great ones of the earth, the high priest, the lawyers, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, this group, these that they have been taught to respect all their lives, they've been taught to listen to them all their lives. In fact, our Lord had said, now, when these Pharisees speak to you, when they seat themselves in the seat of Moses, listen to them. You know, he encouraged them not to be a flagrantly rebellious people. But here, they have set themselves, these powerful men in Israel, they have set themselves against the gospel, against the preaching of Jesus, and they're telling the servants of the Lord to just be quiet. Now, if you go upstream just a bit, this is where Peter and John answer, and they say now in verse 19, if it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you, or rather to God, you be the judge. But we can't stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. We are witnesses, in other words, and we have been given a commission to declare what we have seen and what we have heard. So, here is a clash of cross purposes. On one hand, God is telling them to preach, to declare, to reveal, to share On the other hand, the high priest and the council, they're saying, no, no, no. What do you do? Well, these dear ones, when they heard these things, they lifted their voices to God. And I think the more that we can imitate their faith, the closer we'll be to their comfort as well. Instead of just, you know, my first reaction often is just to fume, to stew, to little wisp of smoke come out of my ears. And I think, well, who do these people think that they are? And they can't do this, and they can't say that. And off we go, quoting this amendment and that amendment and threatening to pick up our rakes and go to war. But these people, they lifted their voices to God. Now, I like how they start their prayer. They begin by praising the Lord, don't they? After a fashion, but this is not flattery on their part. They're not saying, oh God, and it's not just some empty thing that they're revealing and declaring. They're saying, Lord, you made this. That's important when you're dealing with and being confronted by people that say, we have the power. And you can go behind them. You can go over them. You can go around them and say, no, you don't have the power. We're in Acts 4. God and God alone has the power. And it's good to center ourselves in that reality. This is the Lord's. It all belongs to him. He made this. Now, this quote here, they start with a quote there in verse 24. You made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. It's a quote from Exodus. Oh, let me read this to you. It's an interesting thing. You think, how did they think to pull this out? It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'll just read it to you. Exodus 20. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God, in that you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your, etc. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and then he rested on the seventh day. Now they're not praying so much, as best I can tell, about the Sabbath, but they are praying about the one who made all things and praying to him and petitioning this one who is above all. And that's encouraging right there. I've told you before, we stood at the gate at Westminster Palace. And Winston, the one over there, another one, a couple of them, they would not let us in. And the closest we could have gotten is to break through the gates, then be taken to jail, I suppose. But it's the great ones of the earth. You know, and they sit in their seats and they make their proclamation and declare what they declare. And you think, oh, I'm so small and I'm just so insignificant. Well, not necessarily when you can come to the one who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And so they're bypassing these people, if you will. And then what do they do? They say, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant said. Now this is interesting. They're starting to quote Psalm 2. And David, in this psalm, Psalm 2 says this, why do the Gentiles rage? And the peoples devise futile things. And he's talking about how the earth and all the nations around Israel are waging war and resisting what God is doing there in his kingdom. Now this really strikes me. In this reading, it says in verse 25 of Acts 4, the Holy Spirit said this. And when you know that you've got God on your side and he's looking at the situation himself and saying, why? When he sees the vanity of man's efforts, when he sees the futility of their resistance, and he himself is the one saying this, it's one thing for David to say it. Oh, why are they bothering us? Why are they resisting us? Why are they passing these silly laws in Austin or in what's the other place up there? Washington, yeah. Used to be great. Why are they doing this? That's one thing for me to say that. But when the Holy Spirit says this, then I realize that I'm in league with him. I am slipping my hand into his. I'm laboring over his cause, and I'm in agreement with him. And that's important, that we agree with God in the place of prayer. By the Spirit, through the mouth of your father David, you said this, and why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings are standing, the kings of the earth, rather, are standing and they're gathering together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now, David said that. They could have said back then 1,000 years ago, because he was about 1,000 years before the coming of our Lord. He lived then. But look at these people. For truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius. And then he lists all those that had set themselves against the Lord. Well, these are they, right? But then they go on to say, verse 28, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Now, this is a full statement here, and I would just like to look at it in a couple of ways. David's experience foreshadowed the experience of Christ, didn't it? And now these people are saying, and we're walking in this right now ourselves. And this is one of the comforts of reading the scripture. You'll find yourself. You'll be in the experience of the godly if you yourself are godly, because you'll suffer persecution. The scripture promises us. You will experience what all the saints have known down the ages, and you'll find out that the resistance is still there on both sides. And praise God, I choose to be on the Lord's side, you'll say. And as you say that, you'll find yourself being hit with the things that hit David. But now this is interesting. They say, this is what the prophet said. This is what the Spirit of God said. In other words, you remember how Peter stood up and said on the day of Pentecost, this is what the prophet Joel said? Now these people are saying here in this room, this is what David said. This is that. He prophesied of this. Yes, he felt the experience, but he was speaking of the coming of Christ and how he would be resisted. And this we're seeing with our eyes. And I tell you, it's encouraging and interesting and almost thrilling to realize we are right in the midst of a realization of our fulfilled prophecy. It's just going on around us there saying, we've seen it with our eyes. We've witnessed this. Now, he says, they have done this just as you, your purpose predestined to occur. And so they have praised and lifted up their prayer to the Creator. They have praised and sought the one who has planned all this and prophesied of this so very long ago. And now they're making their prayer to the one who can turn all things. Just think of how it was for Joseph, that good man who experienced such resistance and even hatred from his brethren. I was thinking about him just this afternoon. Poor old Joseph, nothing other than being loved by his father and not being able to control his mouth very wisely early on, they threw him into a pit. And some of them wanted to kill him. Another brother said, let's don't do that. There's no profit in that. I've got an idea. Here comes a Midianite trade caravan. Let's sell him. It's a foreign thought to sell your brother, right? Just to make a profit off your own flesh and blood. Well, they did this, and then they just kind of wash their hands, the whole thing. They tell their dad, sorry, he must have been torn apart by a beast, and off he's gone. And if we live long enough and the Lord lets us get there, we'll look at the life of Joseph one of these days on a Sunday morning. But until then, we all know the story and how God turned that. And then Joseph was given such grace and such understanding that he could say to them, yeah, I know you meant evil against me, but what? God meant it for something else, for good, to preserve all these people alive. And I think that when, I don't know how many were thinking of dear old Joseph at this point when they make their prayer, but when they say to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur, they're aligning themselves with the God who's worked this way all down the ages. He has taken the evil of men and turned it for good. You talk about omnipotence. That's a display right there. It's one thing to hurl a star into space, and we can sit there and we have no reference point for that other than just saying it's pretty and it's a long way away. But when we're very familiar with this, the evil that's in the heart of men, it's come against us, it's come out of us, we're too familiar with it. And we see it going forth in the affairs of men, and then we see God overturning it, overruling it, even using it for good. And we think, now that's power. And what they're saying is, you did this, you predestined these things to come against your Son, and they crucified the Lord of life. Ah, and in all of that, God gave to us a Savior, Christ the Lord. His plan from before the beginning of the world. And as the scripture tells us, the Lamb was slain from the foundation, from before the foundation of the earth. And so there is a crucified Messiah standing in his shadow, lengthens over this old world, and as it goes along, finally he comes in and fulfills that position and stands up to do this. And his people say, oh, the plan of God, oh, the plan of God. But now they're saying, Lord, we're in this. The Gentiles are raging. The peoples are devising a futile thing. The rulers, they're gathered together and against the Lord, and they're against your Christ. This is against the gospel. This is against the Lord Jesus. And we should look at things, the events that go on around us, in that light more than we do. This is men setting themselves against the truth, against the King, against life, against his people, for no better reason than they hate the truth and the Prince of Life, and they hate his people. Lord, what will you do about this? Is basically their next prayer as they finish. Lord, will you not? Will you not see this? You who planned all of this, look upon us again, take note of their threats, that's verse 29, and give it to us to do the very thing that they don't want us to do. But may we do it in such a way that the message cannot be gainsaid. It's one thing for them to throw us in prison, but still, let the word come forth so clear, so piercingly, so with such authority. He says, and they ask him, go ahead and back this up with wonders. Verse 30, extend your hand to heal. This is what Jesus did. This is what God did through his Son Jesus. He healed and attracted vast crowds because of that. Then he could preach to them. So extend your hand to heal. Perform signs and wonders. Let them take place through the name. Which just means not for our sake and not because we have another payment in our Cadillac to make, but through the name of your holy servant Jesus, that he might be glorified. This so pleased the Lord. And we have that answer, don't we, in verse 31. They prayed. The building was shaken. And I'll just reiterate this, that there's something about this prayer, this answer, that is, in a way, I almost said it's more personal than the Pentecost. Let me be careful about how I say that. I think Pentecost was very personal because tongues of fire lit upon each head, right? And the Spirit of God comes in like a rushing mighty wind, and then they were all filled with the Spirit. Well, they're filled again here, but the sign that God grants is the shaking of this building. And as we said, they realize that the powers of this world are not really in the hands of men. It's in the hand of God that can touch this and touch that. He can touch this one. He can shake that thing. He can move mountains here. He can destroy resistance there. He can shake whatever he chooses to shake. And right in the midst of this shaking are his people that are kept. Again, we do not read the building falling on them, do we? We read that they went forth with power and life and authority. And forever they know God can keep us in the midst of this world. If he's going to shake the heavens and the earth one more time, he can keep us right in the middle of it. Well, who knew that there's all that life in the Old Testament? Because that's where they're praying from. and they just see the Old Testament in their days, and they lay hold of the statements from the Spirit of God. They pray them back to the Most High, and He answers gloriously. Well, may the Lord teach us to pray.